Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast, but here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford, and we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. I pray, I trust that your cup is filled and full, running over with the grace of God. I love Psalms 23, verses 5 and 6. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My, what a profound passage. I love it when God prepares a banquet table in front of mine enemies. And he says to my enemies, look at this beautiful banquet table I have prepared for my son, for my daughter, and I prepare it in your presence, Satan. And I want you to see how well I feed and nourish and nurture my redeemed, my beloved, that they might endure unto the end. Oh, thank God for his grace and his mercy. Aren't you glad for the depth and the breadth of the Spirit of God? Aren't you glad for the baptism in the Holy Ghost? Aren't you glad that God gave you more than just salvation? Now, I know my pundits and my Baptist brothers and sisters, whom I dearly love, will say, but Pastor Langford, when I got saved, I got the Holy Ghost. Yes and no, you got the Holy Spirit of God, but you didn't get the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Well, how can I say that? Because the Bible says that. The Bible makes it clear. Jesus had not given the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Sure, when you get saved, you receive the Spirit of Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But Jesus in John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus tells us, I haven't been glorified, so you can't receive the Holy Ghost. It's not yet been given. Now, you can argue with the Scriptures, but you'll be wrong. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. You see, I'm not going to be like a lot of ministers and deceitfully and dishonestly handle the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2, Paul said, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. He refused to be dishonest. He refused to handle the Word of God deceitfully. How many people today deceitfully, purposefully mishandle the Word of the Lord? Well, we all know it's plethora. It's grown exponentially as we witness men intentionally, I mean willfully, flagrantly, on purpose, with intent, mishandle with dishonesty the Word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, as you know, right now the studio is torn down. We're making our move. And this is a pre-recorded program, but you would never know the difference because the anointing of the Holy Ghost is here. The presence of God is here. God's going to anoint this message. I preached this message some time ago, over a year ago, entitled, Is Anyone Listening? Revelation 2:7, He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit hath to say unto the churches. God is speaking. Are you listening? I trust you're listening today and that your hearing is opened to the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So without any further ado, as I said, we're in transition, having torn down the entirety of the studio, moving to the new location, setting everything up, and this old country boy is having to learn computers to record on a computer, and I'm still recording even today as you're listening to this on a CD. But I've got to make the changes to stay up with the technology and the way the industry is going, so I please pray that you will bear with me as I seek to make this transition. So without any further ado, I'm going to cut away now to a Holy Ghost Spirit-filled service while preaching to you a very simple message entitled, Is Anyone Listening? David said in Psalms 147, verse 11, The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and in those that hope in his mercy. I hope in his mercy. Hallelujah. Romans 5:5, And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It's not a sad thing to hope in the Lord. Amen? My hope is in him, because he's been so gracious to me. Amen. Early in my ministry, I was desirous that God would make me a John the Baptist. I prayed that prayer very early on in my life, that he would allow me to be a man that would stir people's hearts and challenge and be challenged by the word of the Lord. I had a businessman phone me from Wisconsin a few weeks ago, and he had heard me on the Hagman and the Hagman Talk Show, and he called me. We spent about 45 minutes on the phone. He said, you know, I thought I was living right. I was going to church, paying my tithes. I thought I was living right. He said, but then I heard you. And he said, I come to the conclusion I was backslid. I was away from God. I was having a form of godliness, but I was truly denying the power of Christ in my personal life. And he was sharing with me how he was so joyous. He had found the ministry where the word of God is being preached without compromise. I heard the president say the other day, compromise is a good word. Let me rephrase that. Compromise is not a good word. And that is a lie out of hell, because when you compromise on anything, you subject it to damage and to harm and also yourself. Compromise, men putting a footing down for a foundation and building anything on it. If you compromise there, your whole building, your whole structure is subject to damage and harm. We're told today that we are homophobics. I'm told I have a mental disorder. There's something wrong with my mind because I am against same-sex marriage. There's nothing wrong with my mind. I have a wife, beautiful wife, and four beautiful children. Two men can't do that. I'd hate to see what they have if they have anything. Amen? So they're trying to tell me, Pastor Langford, you have an anomaly. There's an aberration in your brain. You don't see things right. Then they tell me, well, God made us this way. That's like me saying to my wife, honey, God made me an adulterer, and I can't help but cheat on you. I'm serious. That's what they're saying to us, folks. That's what they're telling us. That's how God made me. I say, well, let's go back to Genesis 1 and 2 and see how God made them. He made them male and female. So God didn't do that. But that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to redefine everything and tell us that we have a problem mentally. I don't have a mental problem. I had a mental problem before I got saved. I'll tell you that. I know I did. But I don't have a mental problem now that I'm saved and washed in the blood of Jesus. The Gadarenes was naked, running around. They couldn't hold him in chains and shackles and fetters. But when Jesus got through with him, he was clothed and in his right mind. Hallelujah! One touch by the Master in your mind is made whole, amen. One touch, and you're normal, like he wanted you to be, amen. Sin will cause you to be abnormal, amen. Never understood why a 40-year-old man wants to mess with a two-year-old little girl. That's abnormal. That's debauchery. There's something wrong there in the brain. It's called sin. Sin will damage every one of us. If you have your Bibles, look with me this morning to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. This has been on my heart for the last several weeks. So I'm going to share it with you this morning. Would you stand for the reading of the Holy Writ? Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 13. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt or the destruction of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. It's a sad state of affairs when men reject what God has to say, and they embrace entirely what men have to say. I want to subject my life wholly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Let's invoke the Father's blessings upon the message today. Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you and we magnify your great, great name for your mighty deeds and your mighty acts, Lord. Father, I thank you again today for the opportunity to be in the house of God to worship you and to praise and magnify your holy and your mighty name. I ask you, Father, to bring the scriptures back to my remembrance and put a watch by my lips that I would say nothing nor do anything that would be harmful or detrimental to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we invoke your rich blessings and your anointing upon the remainder of our service, Father, and we'll give you the praise, the honor, the glory for everything that you do, Father, for it's in the beloved name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. Turn around and shake someone's head and tell them you're happy to see them in God's house this morning. Amen. I want to use for just a few moments this morning, the thought, is anyone listening? Is anyone listening? But Jeremiah is making this profound admonition to the people of Israel. If you look closely at the scriptures, that's fundamentally what he's saying to the people. Are you listening to what God is speaking to you? The Bible says in Revelation 2:7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord hath to say unto the churches. You must have spiritual hearing. If you're going to hear what God is speaking and what God is going to do. God is always moving in the midst of his church, in the midst of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if one does not possess spiritual hearing, he will not hear what the Holy Ghost is speaking, what the Holy Ghost is saying, amen. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:9, it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Holy Ghost is always seeking out the deep things of God. And if you have ears to hear and eyes to see, the Holy Ghost can reveal unto you the very most intimate and deep things that God has and that he wants to share with his people. It was no unknown aspect or position of not knowing, but Jeremiah knew what God was going to do because God had forewarned him. God is a God that gives his people warning. You ever warned your children? Raise your hand. Why do you warn them? You love them. You're trying to stave off some kind of injury or some kind of something negative that might happen to their lives. And because you love them, you go to them and you warn them of impending danger or judgment or whatever the case might be. Ezekiel 3:17, he said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, I have made thee therefore a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the words at my mouth and give them warning from me." I stand here today as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I warn you, there were things coming to this nation that the people of this nation, especially professing Christians, are not prepared. They are not ready for what God is going to allow to come to this nation. He said to Jeremiah, the Holy Ghost speaking through Jeremiah, giving a warning to the people of Jerusalem and Israel, "For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of every one, is given to covetousness, and from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely." Now think about what he's saying there. From the most minuscule position in life to those who hold the highest position in life, he said, every one of them has been given over to covetousness. Now we want more and more and more, and in return, we have less and less and less of God. We are becoming a nation that doesn't know who God is and what God is able to do for us. Amen. Jesus warned us in Luke 12:15. He said, "Beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things which he possesses." We think if we have a lot of things, we're happy. Can I tell you, things do not make you happy. Only the power of the Holy Ghost and the presence of God Almighty in a man's life will truly bring him happiness. Amen. You see, Jesus said in Mark 8:36-37, "What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul?" So what, you have 10 Learjets that you own and a half a dozen yachts and helicopters and Bentleys and Maseratis and Mercedes. I've preached scores of funerals. Never seen a U-Haul behind one hearse in my life. You don't take anything with you when you die but your faith. And if you have no faith, you go out into eternity lost without God Almighty. I don't want to go out lost. I want to hear Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." I want to make heaven my home in the end. Amen. Doesn't matter what you possess in this life. I've stood beside the beds of those who were dying. They're not coveting anything then. They just want to make sure everything's well with their soul. Amen? Death is a humbling entity. And when you're facing it, you're not thinking about your checking account. Your conscience, your mind is on one thing. Is it well with my soul? There's a great mystique. There's a great mystery about death. But when you walk in the power of the Holy Ghost, death is but a door. It's a transition from this world into the kingdom of the Most High God. That's where I want to spend eternity. Amen? But the devil is a master at creating covetousness. Thus, covetousness had become so much in Israel. Even the prophet and the priest had given themselves over to covetousness. Jesus said in Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He said in verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. There are a plethora of false prophets in this nation that are telling people, all you need is money. I'm here to tell you, all you need is Jesus. You don't need money. You need Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, in your life. Amen. They're liars. You say you shouldn't say that, preacher. Jesus did in Revelation 21, and he said, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Liars are friars. Amen. I made a statement some weeks ago on a talk show. I said, can you imagine what kind of a world we'd live in today if you only had to do one thing? Everybody only had to do one thing, but everybody had to do it. The man said, what? I said, tell the truth. Can you imagine how blessed this world would be? We wouldn't be lied to by our politicians. If you like your health care policy, well, you can keep it, period. What a lie. I'm so tired of being lied to. I'm not stupid. I may look stupid. I may act stupid, but I'm not stupid. I know things. I know 2 and 2 makes 4, praise God. 3 times 3 makes 9. You get my drift? See, I know something. And I've got the Holy Ghost. And I know when I'm being lied to by people who are trying to mislead me and twist the truth and distort what God wants me to know. The devil will distort everything God is trying to convey to you. Amen. 2 Corinthians 2:17, Paul said, for we are not as many which corrupt the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to corrupt his gospel. Why? Because I don't want to go to hell. Amen. The prophet and the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. In other words, they live a life contrary to the word of God. Amen. Verse 14, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Do you not understand this morning there is no real peace in this world right now? Everything in this world is so tenuous. The fragility begs description, how fragile everything is in this world right now. This economy is so fragile. Our leadership is so fragile. The Middle East is so fragile. Iran is so fragile. Israel is so fragile. Everything is filled with fragility. It begs description. But I've come to understand one thing and one person that's not fragile. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not sitting on his throne worried and scared. He knows everything that's taking place. His almighty hand is on the throttle of the universe, and if he wants to speed it up, he just pushes the lever. He says, I want to slow it down. He pulls the lever back just a little bit. So let's slow things down because I want to get this over here and that over here and this position here because I'm God and I do what is best for my will and my people. Amen. You think sometimes things are going ugly for you? Don't forget who's in control. I love Genesis 42:36. Me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and you will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. How many times have you declared that? Everything in my life is against me right now. I go to open the door, and the doorknob falls off. I go to get the toothpaste, and the dog's done got it. I go to do this, and it's broke. You say, everything in my life is against me. That's what Jacob said. He said, everything in my life is against me. But the truth was, Everything in his life that was taking place was for his good. He just couldn't see it. He thought Joseph was dead. Was he dead? Nope. He's prime minister of Egypt. But from Jacob's perspective, my God, I think the man's dead. Everything's against me. They kept Simeon, when they went to get corn and came back, and Joseph demanded that he keep him. Jacob says, he's probably dead too by now. And now you demand that I surrender my baby son, Simeon. He's got to go back down with you to Egypt. Everything is against me, he said. You see, we can read the beginning and the end. Jacob was living it just like you're living it today. You think everything's against you, but if you could see from God's perspective, everything's just fine. Hallelujah. I said, everything's just fine, Sister Joe. Everything's hunky-dory, whether you realize it, whether you believe it or not. God has everything absolutely under his control, and he's watching over you. When you got up this morning, he recounted the hairs on your head. Amen. He's sovereign. I said, he's God Almighty. That means nobody else has room to be more mighty than he is. He's almighty. He's in control. And I actually laugh when I watch men who think they're running the show. God says, I raise them up, I pull them down. It's like a turtle sitting on a fence post. Somebody put him there. Hello? He don't get on top of that fence post and say, woo, look what I did. No. Some farmer picked him up, said, I'm going to give you a ride like you've never had in your life, and put him up there. He thinks things are looking good. And after a while, he says, can somebody get me down? He didn't get there on his own. You got to believe where you're going. God is taking you there, and God will watch over you as he's getting you there. Amen? Notice what he says in verse 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. I watch the vulgarity. I watch the filth of this world, and I'm like, you people have no conscience. I'd be ashamed to do some of the things that people do, and they call it normal. I sit there and I witness these things. I say, you people need to be ashamed of yourselves. Oh, no, they're proud of their sins. As a matter of fact, the homosexual community says even God is gay. No, he's not. God is not a man. He's God. See, we try to put human identification on God, anthropomorphism. It's giving God human characteristics like the hand of the Lord, the eyes of the Lord upon the righteous. Even when the authors of the scriptures are anointed by the Holy Ghost to make penmanship of God, the term, as I said, anthropomorphism. But God is God. We try to put things on God that you can't put on him. That's why I'm one of the most careful men. When you hear me say, the Lord spoke to my heart, you better believe it's God. I don't want to put my junk on God. I want to be careful not say, thus saith the Lord. It's thus saith David Lankford. Right. Amen. I see so much of that mess. Thus saith the Lord. I know it ain't God. They know it ain't God, but they won't act like they are God. They need to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. When God comes to visit us, if we are not right, we'll either get right and repent and be justified, or we will be lost and cut off from God. You see, I know we live in a generation of people that treat God like a bellboy. You know, you can treat God any way. You can live anywhere. People tell me this all the time. I know I'm not really living like I ought to live, but I still talk to God. Then explain to me Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve two people at the same time. Amen. Yet we want to believe we can live any old way and say we still have a relationship with God. My Bible says God is a jealous God. He wants your allegiance to him. He wants you to walk with him. He's a jealous God. He loves you. He doesn't want you to have any other gods in your life. Amen? When he said to Israel, thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain, he didn't mean to take his name and damn something. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about taking his name and saying to the world, I'm a blood-bought, born-again child of God, but on Saturday night I party with the devil's crowd. When a man and a woman get married, for the most part, the wife takes his last name. My wife was a Probst. She's a Langford now. She took my name. She didn't take my name in vain. She's been faithful. But the point is, we say we take God's name, but then we are unfaithful in our relationship. We don't pray. We don't love him. We don't serve him. We prostitute our relationship. We want to be friends with the world. Can I tell you, you cannot be a friend of the world. James 4, verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I'm not making these scriptures up. I know you don't hear preaching like this much, but I'm just preaching the word of God. Period. Amen. But today people are so unaccustomed to hearing the pure word. It's been adulterated. It's like in the old days, they would mix water with their wine to make it go further. Kind of like today, used to buy a 50-pound bag of grass seed. Look at the bag now. It's 40 pounds. They took 20%, charge you the same amount. I told you I was smart. They trick you. Remember the 5-pound bag of sugar? Some of them now, how many? Four. Did the price go down? Nope. They're tricking you. This is called duplicity. It's deception. It's in everything around us right now, folks. Thank God that's why the truth stands out like a sore thumb in a hammer factory. It's real. Amen? Verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. You know, people say, you're old-fashioned. What's wrong with old-fashioned? I was taught, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, thank you, ma'am, thank you, sir. When you started dating, you opened the door for your girlfriend. Hello? And girls didn't call guys. Guys called the girls. Now, the girl sitting by the phone, praying, fasting, seeking God, the phone will ring, but she wouldn't call. Her mama told you don't chase boys, you don't call boys. They call you. I've been told a many time while I was dating, time for you to go home, David. It's 12 o'clock. Flash the lights. Some of you guys don't even know what I'm talking about. You're from that new generation. Mamas and daddies used to care about their kids, where they were and who they were with. Amen? What's wrong with that? Nothing. But you shouldn't be like that. They wonder why our kids are so messed up. You leave a child to themselves, the Bible said, they'll bring sorrow to your heart. It's called mischief. They get into things. Then they wonder why they got into that. You know, my kids, I know they thought I was tough. Yeah. But now my kids tell me things like, Daddy, the guys I work with are idiots. Why do you think that, son? Because you taught me different than the way they act. See? Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. If you don't put it in them while they're young, they'll never get it. Amen? You don't want the world teaching your children. That's why I've always appreciated parents who would sacrifice to put their children in a private school and teach them the biblical values of God Almighty. Amen? It's a sacrifice, but it's worth it. Amen. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. There's no other way but Jesus. Rick Warren can go to all the mosques and synagogues he wants to and say that Allah and Jehovah are the same God. That's a lie. They're not the same God because Allah does not exist. It's a lie. Hinduism, Shintoism, all of this stuff is conjured up by the devil and hell. There's only one God, and his son is called Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Amen. Period. He's the God of us all. But you need to understand. You need to quit trying to understand the ways of the world and understand the ways of God. Is that not what he's talking about here? Thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways. What? The ways of the Lord Jesus Christ, not the ways of men. And see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? I love the old paths. I love the wholesomeness, the goodness of life. And I like Andy Griffin and Mayberry, Opie, good stuff. See, today it's all salacious, vile, and filthy, and immoral. People sat there and listen to them take God's name in vain. Had a man call me from California the other week. I blistered him. I just felt in my spirit, you a hypocrite, and I'm going to tell you to your face. We was on the phone. He started crying. He said, you're right. I get mad and I take God's name in vain. I watch filthy movies. I said, see there? You're not living right. You're trying to deceive your own self. You're the problem. Said he got upset with God. I said, get upset with God? You're the heathen. You're the reprobate. You're the guy backside. You want to get mad at God? Man, if I was God, I'd have fried many of them a long time ago. I would have. That's why I'm not God. I would have been crazy. Amen? Because he was so long-suffering with me when I was stupid. Hello? When I was out there doing stupid stuff. You know what I'm talking about. Drinking, drunk, doped up, smoked up, running down the road 125 mile an hour in a car, and God said, what are you doing? The devil's trying to kill you all the time. But God was merciful. God was merciful. You had too much dope in your body. You should have died, but God said, no, they're going to get saved. I'm going to give them mercy tonight. I'm going to show them grace tonight. I'm going to love them. I'm going to love them because if I let them go, the devil will kill them and take them to hell. But I won't let that happen because I love them. We forget the magnitude of God's love in our lives. Amen? It's an awesome love. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. This is the most restless generation. I was a sinner. I know people think if I get this, if I get that, if I get this job, I get this car, I get this house, I get this woman, I get this man, I'll be happy. No, you won't. No, you won't. That's a lie from the devil. Your heart, your soul is so vast, so large. The only thing that can fill it is God. And when God fills your heart, you'll get the right woman, you'll get the right man, you'll get the right job, you'll get the house, you'll get everything you need, amen. God will give it to you. You got to put him first, though. You got to lay it all down, say, you know what, that don't mean nothing anymore. You mean everything. And when you start walking with him, he'll begin to bring things to you. He will bless you because he loves you, amen. But you got to walk in the old path. And the old path is not a compromised path. It's a path where we keep walking in truth, 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 truth. But they said, We will not walk therein. We're not going to do it, they say. That's rebellion. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Rebellion. One thing I know that will upset a parent is a smart mouth child. Yeah, just smart mouth. When I was growing up, your head was over here and your teeth were over here. Saying, we got to come back together, boys. Why? Because you got popped for that little smart mouth. I know I've been in a lot of homes as a minister for the past 35 years. I've seen children speak to their parents. Had they been my child, I'd use a little tack and tacked them to the wall. I sure would have. But, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Yeah, when you're sitting in a place and there's a plate glass about that thick between you and them and you're on the phone talking, you wish you'd have done something besides wait until it got to that point. Amen? Amen? But when I was brought up, and my children will still tell you, they remember the tingle of the belt buckle, that little tingling sound. Uh-oh, it's on now. You walk in the room, why, all these saints just coming in order. The whole house gets in order just that quick. What's the problem in here? Nothing, Daddy, nothing at all. Well, let's see here. Come here to me. And you start frailing. Please quit. I will when you straighten up. Amen? You say, well, that's cruel. I didn't turn out too bad. Most of you sitting here didn't either. Because you got a belt when you needed it. Amen? Does you good to get a belt once in a while. Oh, by the way, whom the Lord loves, he'll whip you too. People don't even know the scripture. They don't know that God disciplines his people. Why does he do it? Because he loves us. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens and he scourgeth. Now, a scourging is a beating. You ever had a beating? I've had a whooping, I've had a beating. I'd rather have a whooping than a beating. But the beating will get the mess out of you. They beat it out of you, that's what I'm trying to say. Then you get better. Amen? I believe God's beat me a time or two. But I needed it. I did. My hard head. I know some of you don't have a head near as hard as my head is, but I've had to be beat a time or two. But it didn't hurt me, amen? In closing, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet, but they said, we will not hearken. Joel 2, verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. See, I'm trying to blow the trumpet. I'm trying to sound the alarm and tell you, something's coming. Get ready. We all make preparation if we're getting ready to go on vacation or to go of any place of an extended stay. You got to get somebody to maybe take care of something at the house while you're going or whatever. You have to get ready. The Holy Ghost is telling us you need to get ready. Get ready. God is about to do some great things, and from the world's perspective, some of it will be good, some will be bad. Amen. God is getting ready to do some things. Mark my words. God is getting ready. He said, I have set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. In other words, people say, I'm not going to listen to you. I've been upset with my kids and get right in their face and say, listen to me. Listen to me. See, they hear everything you say, but they're not listening. There's a difference in hearing and listening. We're all guilty of standing with someone, and they're saying something to us, and our mind is somewhere else. We heard them, but we weren't listening. God says, listen to me. Listen to me. Therefore, hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among you. Hear, O earth. This is God's creation, the whole earth. He's talking to everyone, everything. Behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. People today just won't listen to God, but they reject what God says. God makes it plain. Adultery is sin. Fornication is sin. Drunkenness is sin. Thievery is a sin. Idolatry is a sin. Homosexuality is a sin. We don't like to talk about sin. A lot of preachers don't like to talk about sin. But when sin takes root in a person's life, it knows no boundaries. The word cancer simply means any evil condition that spreads destructively. We have the medical term malignancy, which means tends to produce death. Sin is a malignant cancer. It doesn't stop. It will keep encroaching your life until it utterly destroys your life. Thank God, one drop of the blood of Jesus Christ will stop sin in its tracks. It can no longer encroach. It can no longer gain any ground in your life. When the blood is applied, sin is immediately stopped by the blood of Jesus. It stops. Sets a man free. A man can go down on his knees, the most vile, wicked human being, but get up because of the blood of Jesus Christ and be called a saint of God. That's the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you listening this morning? Are you listening to the word of the Lord? This is not just the word of anyone. This is the word of a king. King Jesus is speaking to us, trying to get us ready, trying to get us prepared, because our world is going to change. It's changing. We're in some type of a cycle, as I said a while back. September the 11th, 2001. We went from a time of peace to a time of chaos, just like that. That quick, everything changed. Your banking changed. Now you had to fill out more paperwork and do this and do this and do that to open a checking account. Why? Terrorism. Then in September 2008, financial debacle. Chaos. If we don't bail out the banks and stuff, this whole thing will collapse. That's what they tell us. I believe we're in some kind of a seven-year cycle. I'm looking for September 2015, another catastrophic event. Why? Because God is not a man that he should lie. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? I don't care what God says, it'll come to pass. It will come to pass. He told Jeremiah, I'm going to visit you. You have forsaken me. You have forgotten who I am. I will allow the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, to come in here and plunder your nation and plunder your city, Jerusalem, because the people will not hearken to me. God is trying to get everybody's attention right now, but we will not hearken. We reject the word of the Lord. I don't want to hear that. You know, I want to tell you something, and I'm going to be very candid. I am sick and tired of these mealy-mouthed preachers preaching nothing but love and peace and prosperity. Give that to a child all the days of his life and he'll be ruined when he becomes an adult. Amen. There needs to be some discipline. There needs to be some reproof. There needs to be some rebuke. There needs to be some teaching, fundamentals. Amen. That's why people don't respect each other anymore. I saw the video this week. Maybe some of you saw it. Two black guys. I have no idea what was going on, but the one went back to his car, got his gun, walked away. Bam, 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 bam. Like, life doesn't mean anything. Like, what's that all about? What could you say and make a man get that angry that quick and just shoot somebody? What about the retired police officer in the movie theater? Because somebody's texting? Thank God I don't text. Bam! See, the Bible says in Revelation 6, verse 4, there's going to be a rider on a red horse that goes across the earth. You know what he does? He takes peace from the earth. He takes peace from the earth. That's what you call taking peace, when people just shoot each other. I mean, is this a wild, wild west or what? You see, we become desensitized. We sit on the news, we sit on the news, we sit on the news, we read about it, we read about it. After a while, It don't mean anything to us. But if it happens to you, it means everything. It happens to your son or your daughter, it means everything. And let me tell you, the thief comes but for one reason, Jesus said, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And don't you think he doesn't want to do that to every one of us if he can? Are you listening to me this morning? Are you taking heed? Hebrews 2:1, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we let them slip. And that mean, in the Greek means to be like a leaking vessel. You put something in it and it leaks out and you lose it. Don't you lose the Word of God. Don't you lose this book. You hide this book in your heart that you might not sin against him. Amen? I want you to stand this morning. Brother Robbie, I want you to put on a little bit of music. I want you to come to this altar and I want you to pray with me this morning. I want you to plead the blood of Jesus over your household, everyone. I want you to come down here and I want you to plead the blood of Jesus over your home. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day might bring forth. I don't know what this week might bring to any of us, but I want you to be under the blood of the Lamb. I want you to be sealed by the Spirit of God. I want you to know that you know that you know everything is well with your soul and that you've done everything in your power, everything in your might, to make sure that everything is well with you, because the devil seeks to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I want you to come and pray. I want you to pray for your family, your children, your loved ones. I want you to pray that the Holy Ghost will abide over your household, that the grace of our Lord, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, I want that grace. I want the grace of God to abide over my household, Lord. I need you, Lord God. There came a night when the death angel was going to go through Egypt. And you said to them, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Lord, I want that blood applied to my household. I want that blood applied to my heart. I want that blood to be applied to my children. I want that blood to be applied to our doors of our lives, of our hearts, our homes, and our families. I don't want to miss you, God. I don't want to miss you, God. I don't want to miss you. I don't want to grieve your Holy Ghost. I don't want to make you sorrowful for my life. What I say, what I do, the way I live, the places I go, the things I say. I don't want to grieve your Holy Spirit, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive me of my transgressions. Forgive me of my iniquities. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me, Lord God, of my shortcomings. Oh, God, we're but flesh. A wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Oh, God, we're just flesh and blood. And we're so frail. We're so inept, Lord. We're so anemic. We're so weak in ourselves. But greater is he that lives in us than he that is in this world. I pray you stir this church. Stir it all the way down to the foundations again. Stir the core. Stir the people. Stir the leaders. Stir the musicians. Stir the singers. Stir every one of us, O Lord. Stir us by your mighty power. Oh, God, we need to be stirred. Oh, God, I ask for the old paths. I ask for the old ways. I seek you for the old paths. I seek you for the old way. I seek you, Lord God, because I need that old way. For that, therein is righteousness. Therein is blessings. Therein is forgiveness and redemption. Therein lies the power of the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Father, I pray this morning for everyone, every individual, every home, every family. I pray for every marriage. I pray for every son. I pray for every daughter. I pray, Lord God, for our children. God, you gave us our children. I want the blood to be applied to them, Lord. I gave my children to you, that you would watch over them all the days of their lives. I did my part, Lord. I did what I could do as a man. I gave them to you, Lord, and I believe and I expect you now, Lord God, because I gave them to you. Like Hannah gave you Samuel, we gave you our children. God, I believe to see them saved, every one of them. I believe to see them washed in the blood, walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe it, Lord. I believe it. We have fasted. We have prayed. We have sought your counsel and your face, O God. And you said you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you, Lord. Oh, Lord,
Oh, Holy Ghost, touch us with fresh oil. Touch us with fresh oil, Holy Ghost. For you make the difference. You make the difference. You make the difference, Lord. You make the difference. You're the difference maker. Oh, God, you're the God of all flesh. You're the God of all flesh. And there's nothing impossible with you, Lord. And I believe you this morning, Father. I believe you this morning. I believe you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I trust you, God. Who else could I trust, Lord? I can't trust in men, but I can trust in you, Lord. You will not fail me. You will not disappoint me. You will not let me down. Because you are not subject to man's humanity, for you're God. You're God. You're not subjected to the whims and the caprice of men, for you're the God of all flesh. Bless, O God, with spiritual blessings. Bless with your mighty hand. Bless with your power. Bless with your words. Just speak the word only, Lord. And I know that mighty, mighty, mighty things will come to fruition, Father. Speak the word only, thou Son of David, and I believe it will come to fruition. Lord, again, bless every home. Bless every person on their job. Bless their jobs. Bless the place where they labor, Lord. Bless their businesses. Bless them, Lord God, as never before. Even though the enemy says it's not a time of blessing, Lord, with you it's always a time of blessing. Oh, Lord God, you're always a God of blessing. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. I believe in your blessings, Lord. Keep us, Lord. Keep all of us in the hollow of your hand. Wash us and bathe us and cleanse us from all iniquities, from all sin. For, Lord, you're righteous, and you deal righteously with your people, and I thank you for that today, Father. I thank you, Lord. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord Jesus.
Aren't you glad that God is faithful? What a faithful, 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 faithful Lord, Savior, and Redeemer. Are you listening? Are you listening to the Lord? I've never seen what I've been witnessing in the last few months, how God is moving and repositioning everyone. There's an event coming. There is an event coming. God is strategically moving, putting people in particular places for his purpose. Pray for me that we'll get everything moved, set back up, and that it will run like it's never ran before. And we'll be back to videoing, recording, putting the TV programs back up on the YouTube channel. God bless you. Have a great week, and God willing, I'll see you next week in the Lord. Hopefully by the next week, after next week, we'll be live again sharing the gospel of Christ.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism, P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. That's P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006.